Over 500 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Zechariah told us in Zechariah 9:9, he said, let's read this out loud together, ready to go. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, I just love how the prophets of old, how they foretold the coming of Christ, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. I mean, it's just fun to connect the dots and that thread. And so time and time again, we find that to be the case. And such was with our man Zechariah here 500 years before Christ walked the earth. And so, but here he's talking about him coming into the city. This is Palm Sunday. And so there was rejoicing. And it says, your king comes to you righteous and having what? So the king wasn't just coming to town. He was coming with who he is and what he does, and our king saves. He was coming with salvation. Can you say salvation? Yes, yeah, salvation. So that's no small thing. Matthew 21. It's found in Matthew 21. It's found in Mark 11. But here we read that as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Lord, we thank you. This is history. This is real. There was a celebration. We want to know why, and we too want to celebrate today. So speak to our hearts, change our lives. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Everyone in the house said, so, as you may know, obviously, today is the beginning of Holy Week, the beginning of Passion Week, and each day of the week holds a particular significance as to what transpired on that week leading up to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. And so today, again, Palm Sunday, it celebrates the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Again, the laying down of palm branches, as you see on the floor. It wasn't just a wind that blew in last night with the doors open. We threw those bad boys down there intentionally. And there was, you know, there was celebration, just exuberant praise as he entered the city. So that's today. Then Holy Monday is marked by Jesus cleansing the temple of the money changers, representing purity and a call to true worship as a house of prayer. Holy Tuesday highlights Jesus' teaching in the temple and foretelling Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial. Holy Wednesday, also called Spy Wednesday, marks the day Judas conspired with the religious leaders to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Also that evening, Jesus was anointed from the alabaster jar of perfume by Mary of Bethany. Maundy Thursday, I remember as a little boy thinking, what's Monday Thursday? But anyway, Maundy Thursday is known for the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet, and the importance of serving and loving on one another. Good Friday, a day of mourning, remembering Jesus' horrific death on the cross. Holy Saturday, after Jesus was died and buried, Jesus descends to proclaim victory over death to the souls of the faithful, preach the gospel to the Old Testament saints of old, those that had preceded him in Hades. And then he strips the enemies of his keys. And aren't you grateful and glad for that? Then culminating Easter Sunday resurrection that celebrates, obviously, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, defeating and overcoming the power of death, hell, and the grave. So today is the kickoff. Today, Palm Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. And again, you can contemplate each day. And as you read through the Gospels, you have four vantage points. And, you know, the chronology of what happened when, sometimes you'll see a slight variance. And the reason you see that and read that is because it's coming from that particular person's perspective. It's not in contradiction. It's just four different eyewitnesses to the ministry of Jesus. Of course, Dr. Luke would go into a little more detail as the nature of a physician would be. But again, today kicks it off. And they were wondering, why such a commotion? It's because, well, because this Jesus has come to town. And they asked, who is it? Again, he's the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So what was shouted? Hosanna was shouted over and over again to acclaim Jesus as king, yes, but also technically it's a plea for salvation. Technically, Hosanna is a plea for salvation. It's a Hebrew exclamation, and it comes from the roots save and beseech. So the crowds were welcoming Jesus into the city with shouts of save now, we pray. So they were extolling him that he was the Messiah, yes. But literally what the exclamation was referring to was save us, because they had heard about what he had done prior to coming into the city. Word about Christ spread like wildfire. And he knew that his days and his time were short. That's why he would heal someone and say, now don't tell anyone, but go present, you know, the offering to the priest, da, 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 da. You know, and so, but here, I mean, it's like everything is wide open. They've heard the reports and they're like, we've just got to give honor where honor is due. The testimonies were just flat mounting up, but it was also a plea for salvation. Maybe you remember David prophetically declared in Psalm 18:25, O Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see this dovetailing all throughout Scripture. It's no accident. So the shouts of Hosanna were both recognizing Jesus as Messiah, absolutely, while pleading for salvation. And salvation is holistic, spirit, soul, and body. He comes to save, and he does a thorough work. The name Jesus originates from the Hebrew name Yeshua, meaning Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves. So his name both identifies his identity and his mission. There's meaning in a name. And we remember the angel of the Lord. Remember Joseph and Mary, and Joseph was going to put her away quietly. And of course, the angel gave him the real scoop of what was going on, that what was born in her was by the Holy Spirit. But if you remember, the angel said to Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will what? Save his people from their sins. You're to give him this name. Jesus is also the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. So, what an amazing picture, image, and experience of Jesus coming into a city with shouts acclaiming him as the Messiah who saves. We read Matthew 21, did we not? I'm saying, did we read that? Good. Just want to make sure. All right. So, an amazing picture. He's the Messiah. He's the one who saves. So not our efforts, not our good works, no other sacrifice. Jesus alone, can you say alone? Jesus alone saves. We cannot save ourselves. And see, there are a lot of times in life, and that's why the worship was so powerful, that people in fact did try. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. And again, I'm talking about salvation holistically. You couldn't get born again until the other side of the resurrection, but salvation holistically, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. He came, he died to redeem it all. Amen. And so, but think of those that tried and got nowhere. I mean, by their own self-help, their own self-effort. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. For 18 years, spent all she had on physicians. Instead of getting better, what? She grew worse. But she kept saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And he walked through the crowd asking, who touched me? Oh, Lord, you're being pressed from every side. What do you mean? He said, no, I felt virtue flowing out from me. In other words, someone touched him by faith. It's different. It's different. He cannot resist faith. As a matter of fact, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But see, her worship is going to be extravagant because for 18 years, can you say 18? That's a long time. Spent all she had. I mean, I know people that have traveled all over the nation looking for a clinical trial to try to help their situation. She spent all she had on physicians, but instead of getting better, she grew worse. That can be very disheartening. And so I'm sure there were many in Jerusalem, they had tried. They had put their best effort out there, but it's short-lived, is it not? You're always going to hit a wall. No one can fulfill the law, can they? No one can be perfect. No one can get it right. I mean, we jerk ourselves up by our bootstraps. That's nice, but that won't do anything about the Adamic nature. Only the blood of Jesus and his indwelling spirit can the born-again encounter happen, which transforms you and I. Were you different after you called on his name? Well, see, they were calling on his name and they were also calling on salvation because they knew that they needed it and they had heard the stories. I mean, there were some serious stories. I mean, remember the two blind men? I mean, again, the Gospels, one will talk about one, the other two, and one has, you know, Bartimaeus, you know, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Which is it? Well, it was both. Maybe Bartimaeus was the more prominent as far as being vocal in that moment. I mean, that happened just before he got to Jerusalem. People heard about that. When Lazarus was raised from the dead just prior to coming into Jerusalem, people heard about that. And they're doing the math thinking, well, dear me, if he can raise the dead, what he might be able to do with my predicament or my lesser challenge. I mean, unlike Prince's Bride, Lazarus wasn't mostly dead. He was absolutely dead. Amen. But that's what he does. He's in the resurrection business. Amen. And so, I mean, these stories are cumulative. I mean, they're just coming in. They're coming again. He's ducking and dodging. They're trying to throw him off a cliff. And he's kind of, instead of, you know, stirring the pot, he's trying to duck so he can get to another city. I've got to make it to another village. I've got to go to another. I've got to come and find the lost sheep of Israel. I'm here. I'm on mission. My time is short. And so but the stories were accumulating. Oh, that there would come a time, a tipping point in America where the stories were just so prolific that you just can't. I tell you what, it is happening. The water level is rising. It's rising. I mean, you heard about that Monday night, but I mean, you heard about the flatbed trucks that were just pulling up. I'm trying to remember what school that was just this past week and just baptizing them, you know, by the hundreds. I mean, there's something in the air. The stories we're hearing, there's a buzz that maybe wasn't there 15 years ago, 10 years ago. And I could really see it coming off the mission field, having been gone 10 years and then coming back. I'm like, dear me, every channel, there's Franklin Graham or there's Rick Warren or there's just gospel in unusual places. And there were some people I even partied hard with and I heard that they got saved. I mean, one guy in particular I worked with, I was like, dear me, there is a God in heaven. God is at work and the gospel works. Hosanna, Lord, save, we pray. And you know what? He is. It's in his name because that's what he does. It's who he is and it's what he does. It's who he is. That's what he does. And he does a good job to the one that responds earnestly in faith as we call on the Lord. Jesus is also the Greek form of Joshua, which too means the Lord saves. Love it. What an amazing picture, image, and experience of Jesus coming into a city with shouts acclaiming him as the Messiah who saves. The Messiah who saves. People understood this. That's why they came out. But they knew by revelation, Something was different by what he said and what he did. No wonder they declared, "Save now, we pray," or "Hosanna." Prior, again, to entering the city, as we just talked about, the two men, blind, healed, Lazarus, dead, raised, glory to God. That's just what he did. He went about doing good. Can you say doing good? That's what a Savior does. He just flat. Matter of fact, remember when Peter was talking to Cornelius in Acts 10? Peter said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him, healing all that were oppressed by the enemy." Amen. There is an oppression in the earth today. God wants to break that and get that off. He died to get that off so there might be freedom, but we have to fight for freedom. Amen. He has saved us through his cross and his blood, what he did on Golgotha. Yes, that's legally true, but is it experientially true? We have to use our faith to lay hold of the benefits of the cross, amen, so that we're not living beneath what he paid and purchased for us. We contend for it, amen. Salvation is free, yes, but we believe it. We lean into it, and we learn of it so that we're not ignorant of what's freely ours. When Jesus healed the deaf and mute man in Mark 7, the people declared, "He does all things well." I love that. Meaning Jesus' actions are perfect, complete, and reflect the very nature of God. When Jesus saves, and again, we're thinking holistically, God is on the scene. When he touches you in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, God is on the scene. Jesus told the Pharisees when they were making all kind of accusations, "It's not by Beelzebul that I cast out demons, but if it's by the finger of God that this man is delivered, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." It's salvation is a miracle. A healing is a miracle. I mean, just check the boxes all the way down. Deliverance is a miracle, you see. But when Jesus does this, you too would be shouting in the streets. Or if you knew someone like Lazarus who was raised from the dead, you too would be praising and declaring, "Lord, save now, we pray. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In 1994, in Guam, we participated in what was known then in the early 90s as a March for Jesus. And different denominations came together, putting their differences aside. And there was no protest. It was basically just walking the streets with banners that lift up the name of Jesus and honoring the man Christ Jesus. That was it. And just going through the streets just to honor Jesus. And I love that because it was simple. Again, it wasn't lifting up our particular brand of the faith or our pet doctrine or our favorite, you know, persuasion of something. It was just to honor Jesus. And even a couple of years before that, I was in a conference in Kansas City where they were going to do the same and be a part. Those that were hosting the conference were going to take the afternoon off to participate in a March for Jesus one afternoon of that weekend. And I remember hearing the story when we regathered that, you know, because they were walking, you know, many blocks, but there was one lady that was a part of the March for Jesus parade through the streets that had to duck out and go into the restroom. So she ducks out and goes into a building and goes into the restroom. And she just saw this lady just weeping, heaving in tears and just was like, "Well, honey, are you okay? What's wrong?" She goes, "I don't know. It's just when everyone was walking by and that music and the singing, I don't know." In other words, it was the anointing that was breaking a yoke in her life. She didn't have language. She didn't have verbiage. She didn't know how to interpret it, but the Spirit of God was touching her just through a declaration that Jesus is Lord, because he is in fact Lord and he saves. And it's his good pleasure to seek and to save those that are lost. I mean, there was no gospel presentation. It was just presence. Amen. That just came. I mean, there's servant evangelism. There's all kind of, you know, power evangelism. There's presence evangelism where just God draws near and he does what we couldn't do and he does it in a moment. Amen. What if maybe it could have taken months? When we had our encounter with the glory of God in the 90s, I mean, there were people that were liberated and set free in a moment. What would have taken months or years to try to counsel through, but in a moment, amen. How many of you know one encounter from the Lord can square the situation properly? So in a day of wearying protest, how about rather declaring the praises of our God, lifting up only one name, Jesus? Wouldn't that be nice for a change? Just unifying around one name. Not this, not that. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men and women are saved. Amen. Just one name. Wouldn't that be? Now, there's something about the name. When people talk about God in a general way, that's wonderful and fine. But when you introduce Jesus, it cuts the air. And a lot of times people are like, I don't like all this Jesus talk. I just want to talk about God generally. No, no, no. Jesus. Amen. You've heard me talk before about Steve Hill, the evangelist of the Brownsville Revival, who was dying. He was a drug dealer and a junkie dying in his bed. And a Lutheran vicar that his mother brought in, he said, I want to pray for you. He goes, I don't know how to pray. He goes, don't worry about it, son. Just say the name Jesus. It wasn't the four spiritual laws. And he just said, and he could barely talk, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He got born again just saying Jesus, and that addiction broke and he was healed on the spot. And he walked out and it was just like he was in another world. Sky, you're so blue. Grass, you're so green. But the very next day, there were the drug dealers pulled up to his house. He goes, no, 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 you got to go, because if I go with you, I'm going to lose this, with this, whatever this is. I don't want to lose this. He had touched eternity. You see, it's like, I cannot, this is otherworldly. Yeah, you're created to swim in those waters, amen? Lifting up that name. The gospel account of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem with shouts and praises and the waving of palm branches. It's a brief picture of what it will look like in the heavenly Jerusalem one day as we are all wearing white. And that new kingdom. John the Revelator gives us a beautiful glimpse of that reality. That was not just a one and done, but it's going to look very similar to the age to come. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. It says, after this I looked, John by revelation here, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation. By the way, if you're wondering, where do we get our name from? There you go. Every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, they were wearing white robes and holding what? Palm branches in their hands. And the city cried out in a loud voice, salvation. See, that's what they start with. There you go. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That's what heaven's going to look like. Glory, glory, praises, worship, just adoration unto the Lamb of God. Amen. And so really, it was almost a picture again, of what's going to be transpiring in the new Jerusalem. I love that. Around 1500 years before John in Revelation, King David penned in Psalm 95. He said, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our, what? Salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. This is known as a kingship psalm. About 300 years later, the prophet Isaiah declared in Isaiah 12, 2 and 3, surely God is my salvation. I will not trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become again my what? Salvation. With joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he's done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. This chapter is called Salvation's Song. About 700 years earlier, we find the song of Moses and Miriam after the mighty deliverance out of Egypt in Exodus 15, 1 through 2. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and its rider. He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Once again, David. Now notice the word alone here in this passage. Psalm 62, 1 through 2 and 5 through 8. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is the rock of my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge, Selah. No wonder they were cutting a jig. We could go on and on and on. I think what I want to say today is every day should be Palm Sunday. Every day should be Palm Sunday. Come on, has he helped anyone? Then every day. I mean, yes, we have places in the calendar, even the Jewish calendar, and there are certain festivals that mark certain things that God has done historically. But every day, because we know in heaven, it's going to look very similar to what we saw here as Jesus entered Jerusalem. Has he not been good to you? Has he not been good to me? I mean, dear me, we may not have palm branches with us 24/7. We can certainly lift up our hands. We can certainly lift up our song. We can certainly get on our praise. Amen. There's nothing stopping us. We can turn it on. We can turn it off. We can get it on anytime we want, anytime we want, anytime we want, anytime we want. We can get our praise on. Amen. And we can celebrate with thanksgiving. We can celebrate with praise. Amen. And that is our reasonable service of worship. That is our duty, because God has been good. Jesus saved, and he's still saving still. Amen. So it's like, yes, he saved you. Maybe you had the date and you marked it in your journal, but he's saving you still. He's delivering you still. Your story is still being written still. He's still being good now. As it progresses, is he not our salvation? Has he not saved us, healed us of spiritual blindness? Has he not, like Lazarus, raised us from the dead? Remember, we too were dead in our sins and trespasses. Glory to God, He raised us up, gave us new life. Has He not forgiven us, washed us, adopted us into His family, given us a future and a hope? Were we not all blind Bartimaeus? Were we not all Lazarus? Hosanna is the Hebrew expression meaning save, which became an exclamation of praise. It was a both and. We should be the first in the streets, shouldn't we? Thank God. God has been good. Every day should be Palm Sunday. Every day. Now, within that week, we know different things historically happened. Sadly, because people are so fickle, some that were saying Hosanna in the highest, a few days later were saying hang him on the highest. Maybe something happened they couldn't explain. That's why I just this whole deconstruction, it's just like, are you kidding me? You know, one thing you can't interpret rightly or comprehend rightly, and you're just going to kick it to the curb? Truly? Your pea-sized brain, because you can't figure everything out, and people can turn? And that's why, again, we've got to remember and keep our praise going strong. Sometimes when you're in the vice grip, you need to praise your way out. Amen? I mean, when you're on the mountain, it's easy to praise. When you're not, praise all the more. Praise your way out. And that's what the scripture refers to. I will bring a sacrifice of praise. I ain't feeling it. I don't like this pressure. But bless God, I'm going to give him his due because it's only right. Because he did save me. I know his nature and he will save me still. So we just go back to the source. We just come back under the fountain once again. Amen. We just create Palm Sunday all over again. Hallelujah. And it's interesting, those that cried out, many times they got the goods. I remember blind Bartimaeus, they were trying to shush him. But I mean, dear me, I mean, if you had been blind for years and years and you heard salvation was passing by, you wouldn't have said, excuse me, pass the great poupon. No, you would have probably... You know, you would have had one moment. It's like, I'm not going to miss this moment. I mean, remember the story of those that were laid by the pool of Bethesda? Why are you still here? Well, every time the angel comes down and stirs the waters, when I'm fixing to get in, someone goes in before me. You know, Jesus is near. And he is walking past. And it's only right that we give him the adoration. Many times when they tried to restrain him, remember the children, oh no, let them come. If praise isn't given, then the very rocks and trees. Don't be beat by a rock or a tree. It's Palm Sunday on the calendar, literally today. But when you go to work tomorrow and you got that nasty situation you got to face, or you got some challenge on campus that you're not looking forward to and you're dreading, just remember, no, Palm Sunday applies to now. He'll still help me. It was easy to get my praise on with that group of folk at 201 trying on Sunday between 10 and 12. But here I'm in a situation, and you may not be able to verbalize it being in the Word, but in your heart, you can be hot and you can be reaching. God, I just glorify you. You've not changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You've not changed. You have saved. You are saving. You will continue to save. You have delivered. You are delivering. You will continue to deliver. Why? That's what you do. Hosanna. Lord, save. Oh, we cry because you're a Savior. It's what you do. That's what his very name means. It's what he does. And so we want to just have the frame of mind to say, well, give me mine. Right now in your seat, say, give me mine. Whatever I'm lacking, whatever I need, whatever's missing, whatever's broken. Amen. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now, Lord. Whatever's missing, whatever's broken, whatever's not in play, Lord, we just pray. Lord, we just pray. Come near. Just like you came into the city and they praised you. Just right where you are, thank God for a need being met right now. A need that's not yet met, just thank him. Because he is your salvation. Because he is your salvation. And he comes to the city to help a man, to help a woman, to empower, to bless, to deliver, to heal, to release from oppression, to turn our captivity. He comes, he walks near. Lord, we recognize you. We recognize who you are and we recognize what you do. So Lord, if you could heal Bartimaeus, if you could raise Lazarus, touch us in this area that's not near as complicated, but complicated doesn't intimidate you. It's all easy for you. Just say in your heart, Jesus, this is easy for you. Why? Because you're Jesus. You're God. Savior, deliverer, healer. Lord, touch bodies. Touch hopes. Where there's some dead hope in here, Lord, revive hope. Where there's some dead dreams, Lord, revive the dream. Where there's some melancholy, Lord, turn it. Lord, I pray you touch people's emotional constitution in the name of the Lord. You're the great doctor. Jehovah Rapha, come. Our great King and Savior, come. Just tell him, I trust you to do this. You're able. You're able to help me. You're able to help me. If by chance you're here today and you don't know the Lord, don't let him pass by. Matter of fact, with our heads bowed, if you're here and it's like, I've been skirting around, dancing around this Christian thing, but I'm not yet in. I've put my big toe in, but I'm not in the way I need to be. I've got compromise in a serious way, but I want to come out because I want to be free. If that's you, throw your hand up real quick, real quick. If it's like, okay, anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, well, this is your day. Just say out loud, Dear Jesus, everybody, just help. Let's help these. Dear Jesus, you see my life. Nothing is hidden from your sight. And I know you're the only one that can help me. So I'm asking you, save me thoroughly. No more compromise. I'm breaking up with compromise. And I'm getting married to you with a whole and full heart. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died on the cross for me. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead. I ask you, receive me as your son or daughter. Save me. Be my Savior and Lord and my very best friend. Amen. Did you pray that? Amen. Did you pray that? Did you pray that? Thumbs up. Good. All right. A few folks here. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a shout? Amen.